On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to minimize taxes in retirement. Courtney and I sit down with retirement income specialist, best-selling author, David McKnight, and we're going to be talking about a strategy designed to minimize taxes in retirement. Now, we teach some of these same strategies in Weaver Sales Academy to our clients when it comes to permanent life insurance. And in this conversation with David, he's going to break it down, why it's important, what you should be doing, the exact products that you should not only be using, but you should be working with customers to do this, what the 2026 tax law means when it is up, and much more. With that being said, let's start the show. This is the Insurance Buzz, and we are your hosts, Michael and Courtney Weaver. We coach insurance professionals, business owners, and people just like you every day on how to live a life and have a business you are excited about.
Here on the Insurance Buzz, we share the wins, the losses, and everything in between that comes with being married business partners, training in the insurance space, and growing our business side by side. We also connect with other business owners and leaders making their mark in the world and hopefully inspire you to make yours.
Hey, welcome to the Insurance Buzz. We are your hosts, Michael and Courtney Weaver, and we have a very special guest with us today, best-selling author, retirement income specialist, David McKnight. You probably know him best from the philosophy of the power of zero, which is a financial strategy designed to minimize taxes in retirement. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Honored to be here.
Absolutely. So let's just dive right in.
Let's get to the good
stuff. For those that have never heard of the power of zero, I would love if you could dive into it, and more importantly, why the power of zero is so important, not only for right now, but for individuals that are 30 years old, 40 years old. Like, what does this look like in the future?
Yeah, so the whole book is premised on this idea that we believe that tax rates, even 10 years from now, are likely to be dramatically higher than they are today. And this is for a whole host of reasons, but we'll get into a couple of these here real quick. We have huge unfunded obligations for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They all add up to about $239 trillion. Very famous economist out of Boston University said, look, to be able to deliver on everything that we promise for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that we can't afford to pay, we'd have to have $239 trillion sitting in a bank account today earning treasury rates to be able to deliver on all that stuff. So number one, that's a big, big problem, unfunded obligations. The second one is, notwithstanding all of those obligations, above and beyond those outstanding obligations, we have $34 trillion of debt that's slated to be $20 trillion higher even 10 years from now. And there's a recent study out of Penn Wharton that talks about how if all we do is continue on this same course, by 2043, there will be no arresting the financial collapse of our country. No combination of raising taxes or lowering spending will be enough to sort of deliver us from this financial collapse. So the long and the short of it is, in the next 10 years or so, the federal government's going to need huge infusions of cash to be able to pay for all of its commitments. And some of these commitments, they quite frankly just can't get out of. You can't get out of paying interest on your debt. Okay, you'd need an act of Congress to get out of paying for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and adjusting those benefits for inflation. So we're sort of marching into this future where the federal government needs huge infusions of cash to pay its bills. And 95% of Americans have the lion's share of their retirement savings sitting in what we call tax-deferred vehicles like 401ks and IRAs. In other words, they've essentially entered into a business partnership with the IRS. And every year, the IRS gets a vote on what percentage of your profits they get to keep. Not a very good business partnership, if you ask me. So you might have $1 million in your IRA, but unless you can accurately predict what tax rates are going to be in the year you take that money out, you don't really know how much money you have. And it's pretty hard to plan for retirement if you don't know how much money you have. And so the power of zero was my attempt to say, hey, look, Americans, baby boomers, you got all your money sort of squirreled away in these tax deferred accounts. And we're at a period of historically low tax rates. Why not take advantage of those historically low tax rates to get those assets repositioned to tax-free so that by the time tax rates potentially double over time to pay for our country's bills, you've done all the heavy lifting, you can then take all that money out tax-free. And so the name of the book is The Power of Zero, and it's how to get to the 0% tax bracket and transform your retirement. I talk about the power of the 0% tax bracket, being that if tax rates double and you're in the 0% tax bracket, then 2 times 0 is still zero. So that's sort of the, you know, the premise for the book. And I wrote it sort of in response to what all the experts were saying about the future of tax rates.
I have a hard time not going to like doom and gloom when I hear 2043, because I'm thinking about my parents. But for me, as somebody who's not in her 40s yet, we're approaching there, we're getting there. What are you telling somebody that's my age to prepare? Because my retirement will be past 2043. It will be years beyond that. What do I do now, hearing all of that?
So that's a good question. So what do young, what does the younger generation do to sort of shield themselves from the impact of higher taxes? And really, it's a pretty simple formula. I tell people that the farther out your retirement horizon, the more you need to invest in tax-free investments. Roth 401ks, Roth IRAs, do Roth conversions. Some forms of properly structured cash value life insurance can even play, you know, a complementary role in that whole balanced plan. But, you know, if you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, you're talking about retiring in 20 to 50 years, 20 to 45 years, something like that. What is the likelihood that we are going to be at our current tax rates at that point in time? What is the likelihood that we will have liquidated all or most of our debt? What is the likelihood that we will have sort of somehow managed to rein in all of this profligate spending? It's not really that high. And we're fast approaching the point where, like the Penn Wharton study says, it doesn't really matter what we do. The debt will continue to grow, you know, as a matter of course. And so as we march into this future, and we ask ourselves the question, where should we be investing our retirement dollars? The answer should be increasingly be in tax-free accounts to shield ourselves from what is likely to happen years down the road. And so, you know, don't let a year go by where you're not fully funding your Roth IRA. Don't let a year go by where you're not putting money into your Roth 401k or putting money into to cash value life insurance as a complement to those other vehicles. So if you're like, hey, I'm going to retire next year and I have a 15-year life expectancy, maybe stick with your tax-deferred accounts. Maybe that's not going to be such a huge change. But for people that are trying to anticipate what is likely to happen in a 20 to 40-year future, man, tax-free seems to make a lot of sense to most people.
So obviously you have your Roth IRAs, you have your Roth 401ks, you have your cash value permanent life insurance. Is there anything else out there that someone could invest in to plan for the future to lower their tax burden?
Sure. One thing that I would say is don't completely neglect your tax deferred retirement accounts. And here's why. When you retire, there's a good chance you won't have any deductions left. So the IRS in their infinite goodness will give you a deduction. They call it a standard deduction, which if you retire today as a married couple younger than 65 is $29,200. What does that mean? It means you could experience income from any number of sources up to $29,200 without paying any tax at all. So what does that mean? That means that if you shift all of your money to tax-free by the time you retire, you're going to have the standard deduction sitting there idle. And what does that mean? That means that you will have paid a tax unnecessarily on some of those tax-deferred assets, you're now in a position where you've got 100% tax-free income and you've got a standard deduction that you can't use to offset any income. So what I would say is if as a married couple, leave around $350,000 in your tax-deferred bucket. And what that'll do is it'll put you in a position where your required minimum distributions are offset by that standard deduction. So now when you look at the broader picture, you have Roth IRA, Roth 401k. You may need to do some Roth conversion somewhere along the way. You can have your RMDs offset by your standard deduction. We talked about cash value life insurance. And then there's one other thing I like to talk about, and that's Social Security. A lot of people don't realize that their Social Security can be taxed. Here's the thing. It felt like a tax when it came out of your check to begin with. Now you got to pay tax on it again. You know, again, when you get it back on the back end, that feels like a double tax. It is a double tax, but people don't realize their Social Security can be taxed. And they also don't realize that when you take money out of your IRA, that's one of the biggest sources of what we call provisional income, which is what the IRS tracks to determine if they are going to tax your Social Security. So by keeping your balance in your IRAs of around $350,000, those RMDs are actually going to be low enough such that your provisional income is low enough so that your Social Security will not be taxed. So in summary, you have Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, Roth conversions, RMDs offset by standard deductions, cash value life insurance, and if you can keep your provisional income low enough, then your Social Security is tax-free. And if you look at all those different things, they all add up to the 0% tax bracket. We love the 0% tax bracket because if tax rates double, 2 times 0 is still zero.
I don't know anybody that likes taxes, so I love that we're having this conversation because I feel like we're taxed when we're born. We're taxed when we make the money. We're taxed when we risk our money in investments. And then we tax again when we die. It's like, how many times can we be taxed? This is crazy.
We were talking to my parents about this weekend because they're retired. And it was just all the different times that we're taxed. And we're like, what do we do? And it was in preparation for this conversation. But you bring up cash value life insurance. Can we go there for a second?
Let's do it.
So I would be curious, when you talk about cash value life insurance, because there's a lot of different avenues and vehicles that you can go into, what is your recommendation? Because our audience here is a lot of insurance agents that are sharing about cash value life insurance. And quite frankly, I don't know a ton about what cash value can do. So maybe start with breaking down what, aside from just the tax benefits, cash value life insurance, and then the different vehicles that you would recommend our listeners refer to their customers.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest applications, there's three or four. I'm going to give you what I think are the most intriguing ones. The most intriguing one, I think, particularly for if you're younger than age 50, is to use cash value life insurance for what I call a volatility shield. In fact, I wrote a book called The Volatility Shield. And basically, the idea is this. If you reach retirement, say you got $1 million in your IRA, the most you can take out in any given year and have a high likelihood of not running out of money before you run out of life is about 4% per year. That's what all the studies show. It's a golden rule of distribution planning. It's called the 4% rule. Some people say it's the 3% rule, but let's just go with the 4% rule. So the problem is the 4% rule is a pretty expensive way to go. If you need $80,000 per year in retirement adjusted for inflation, you're going to need to save $2 million. And this is Dave Ramsey's big thing. He says, if you stick to the 4% rule, you got to save so much money. It's a dream killer. Like people will never get off of square one because you got to save so much money or you're not ever going to be able to retire. And that snuffs out people's dreams. Well, math is not something you can really argue with. Math is math. It's not about your dreams or whatever. Facts are sometimes hard and intransigent. They don't change, right? So the 4% rule is what Ken Fisher and Susie Orman live by. But the problem with 4% rule is it's an expensive way to go. Like I said, if you need $40,000 per year, you need to save $1 million. If you need $80,000 per year, you need $2 million. So it's an expensive way to go. You got to save a lot of money. Now, a lot of people have done some studies on a very practical use of cash value life insurance, and that's using it in the context of what I call the volatility shield. And it basically goes as follows. If you can save at least 3 years worth of living expenses within your cash value life insurance policy by the time you retire, and then in the first 10 years of retirement, you live out of your cash value life insurance in the year following a down year in the market, what you'll find is that that gives your stock market portfolio a chance to recover before you take further distributions. And something really magical happens when you follow that course. According to all the Monte Carlo scenarios, if you allow your stock market portfolio to recover before you take further distributions, you can increase your sustainable withdrawal rate to as high as 8%. In other words, if all you did was save at least 3 years worth of living expenses in a cash value life insurance policy, you can now increase your sustainable withdrawal rate on your stock market portfolio to as high as 8%. Now, that's a game changer. For someone who otherwise would have had to save $2 million, they can now save only $1 million and take an $80,000 sustainable withdrawal year over year over the balance of a 30-year retirement. That's absolutely huge. That's why Ernst & Young is recommending that people put 30% of their retirement savings into cash value life insurance. So this is huge stuff, and it flies in the face of everything that Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman and Clark Howard are telling us about cash value life insurance. Dave Ramsey says, hey, 100% of cash value life insurance sucks 100% of the time, right? So I'm giving a very practical math-based example of how cash value life insurance can dramatically increase the likelihood of your money lasting through life expectancy. So that's the first big application that I tell people that they really need to be aware of.
That's great, because we are actually just having this conversation because there's so many baby boomers retiring right now. And with inflation increasing, expenses increasing, more than likely taxes increasing after 2026 once the tax law is up. And Courtney was like, well, what happens if we do have a down year in the stock market? I'm like, that eats away at their overall savings and investment so much that eventually they'll have a shortfall in their retirement and more than likely have to go back to work. Like, you don't see 80-year-old Walmart greeters because they want to be there. They have to be there.
Yeah, it's not a lifestyle choice.
And this is exactly what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Guarding, shielding yourself from the down market with permanent life insurance and then pulling from that tax-free account while the market's down, waiting for it to rebound before you touch your investment portfolio again, correct?
Right. I am so chagrined by how financial gurus like Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey have approached this whole discussion, because they do it in such a dogmatic black and white by the numbers approach. I've got a book coming out in the fall called The Guru Gap, How America's Financial Gurus Are Leading You Astray and How to Get Back on Track. And one of the chapters I talk about is Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman, how they take this really inflexible approach to annuities and cash value life insurance, as if there were no academic data that backs up these financial tools that can help Americans wring more efficiency out of their retirement savings. So it's really a shame that we have to spend our time sort of combating and countering everything that they're saying. But the truth is, by utilizing these tools that the mainstream media tends to denigrate largely, people can actually increase the likelihood that their money is going to last as long as they do.
And just like you said, I mean, you have third parties like BlackRock, Ernst & Young right now coming out showing how to maximize your portfolios with permanent life insurance annuities. So a question that we had from our audience was, okay, we understand cash value life insurance is important. As an insurance professional, I want to be having these conversations, but should I be recommending index universal life? Should I be recommending VUL? Should I be recommending whole life? Like, there's so many permanent options out there. What should I be doing to help someone with their life insurance retirement plan?
Yeah, if you're utilizing it in the volatility buffer / volatility shield type context that we just discussed, VUL is not going to work, because in order to be a volatility shield, you can't experience volatility in the shield itself. The volatility shield itself can't experience volatility, and the VUL by definition experiences volatility. So what does that leave you with? It leaves you with whole life, and it leaves you with IUL. And so the question becomes, which of those two is likely to fulfill the role of the volatility buffer or volatility shield in the most efficient way? And the thing that you have to remember is that you have to save at least 3 years worth of living expenses. And that's not your living expenses today. It's your living expenses in retirement. And that could be 30 years from now. How much money you're going to need 30 years from now to be able to pay for 1 year of living expenses? It's going to be substantially more if you figure inflation in. So you really need to have a vehicle that's going to grow safely but productively. Okay. So for example, if you have a financial tool that's only growing at 3%, what's the likelihood that, notwithstanding your best efforts, you're going to be able to save at least 3 years worth of living expenses by the time, you know, adjusted for inflation, by the time you retire in 20 to 30 years? 3% is not going to hack it. So you need something that's productive. I'm talking growing between, and remember, there's a relationship between risk and reward. So you can't get a guarantee against zero loss in the market and still get 15%. There's a relationship there. So if you're going to get zero, what financial tool can grow your money productively such that you will have enough money for this cash value life insurance to operate in the way it's intended? And that's as a volatility shield. And the thing about IUL, and IUL is my preferred choice, is it's historically giving you 5 to 7% net of fees over time. You see some people talk about more, but I'm conservative. I'm saying, look, it's going to give you 5 to 7% net of fees over time. And that, when you look at all the numbers, that is going to give you a reasonable rate of return. It's a productive rate of return. You're not going to have to sell your farm to be able to put money into this thing to be able to have the, you know, sufficient amount by the time you retire. So the point is, the more productive your volatility shield account, the less you have to invest along the way to be able to have accumulated the 3 years worth of living expenses by the time you retire. And so The other thing that I like about IUL is through certain companies, it has guaranteed 0% loans. So what does that mean? That means not only is your money growing tax-free, it's growing cost-free. So when you take the money out, you do so by way of a loan. They use your cash value to collateralize that loan. So you're actually getting a loan from the insurance company, not from your policy. They're just using your cash value as a way to collateralize that loan. So what these companies will do is they'll say, we'll loan you money using your cash values as collateral, and we're going to charge you a real rate of interest. Let's call it 3%. Through certain IUL companies, they will say, okay, let's take an equal amount of money out of your growth account and put it into what I call a loan collateral account. And they will then credit you an amount of interest in that loan collateral account. And if it's a good company, they will credit you exactly what they charge you for the loan itself. So if they're charging you 3% and they're crediting you 3% and they guarantee both in the contract, then you know when you take that money out, it's going to be guaranteed 0% wash loan. That's what we call it. And no matter what the company does, because it's guaranteed in the contract, they can never charge you a net rate of interest for that loan. And so we need a policy to be safe and productive, and we need to be able to take the money out tax-free and cost-free. And the IUL is the only financial tool that enables you to do both of those things at the same time. When you look at, for example, the Ernst & Young study, where they talk about using this volatility buffer, volatility shield concept, they actually use whole life. And when you look at the fine print, you look at the footnotes, they say that they actually paid back the loans from the whole life policy after the market recovered. So in other words, they took the money out and then they paid it back. With the IUL, you could take the money out and not have to pay it back. Okay. So how did they pay the loan back? They paid the loan back out of their stock market portfolio once it recovered. If you use an IUL and you don't have any financial motivation to pay it back because they're not charging you interest, that means you're going to have more money in your stock market portfolio that you can utilize to pay for discretionary expenses down the road. So that's, I think, just a good example of why I think the IUL accomplishes everything that we need to accomplish in the best way.
Yeah, that's really great. That's great information. So to steer away from product selection, because you answered that amazingly, like that makes total sense to me. Would you be open to talking about 2026 and the tax law that's coming up and what we can expect, what insurance professionals should be educating their clients around when it comes to 2026?
You bet. So 2026, we know that's the end of the Trump tax cuts. We know that they got it through under budget reconciliation in 2017 at the very end, I think in December, which means that 2018 was the first full year of tax breaks. They basically cut everybody's tax bracket on the margin. Everybody saved money. And they did it for 8 years because they couldn't get it. They couldn't get a full, you know, supermajority in both houses to be able to approve it. So they did it under budget reconciliation like they did under Bush previously, which means it's got an eight-year expiration, right? So that's coming due January 1st, 2026. So that means we basically have three tax years within which to take advantage of historically low tax rates, okay? Now, there's a caveat here. A lot of people say, okay, we got 3 years till tax rates go up. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get all of my IRAs converted over before 2026, you know, taxes be darned, right? No matter how high I rise in my tax brackets today, I'm going to get all that money shifted over. And I think that's a huge mistake. And here's why. I think the huge sweet spot in the Trump tax cuts is the 24% tax bracket, okay? It's only 2% more than the 22% tax bracket, but it allows you to shift about an extra $170,000 per year, $173,000 per year. So if you have $1 million and you want to get all of that money shifted over to tax-free, you'll never do it if you stay in the 22% tax bracket, which is most people's tax bracket. You need to take advantage of the 24% tax bracket to do it. Well, what some people do is they say, well, I want to get all of my money shifted in the next 3 years. So I'm going to bump up into the 32% tax bracket or the 35 or the 37 in order to get that accomplished, which is a huge mistake. I think it's just sort of this paranoid, let's strike while the iron's hot sort of approach to, you know, tax-free retirement. Here's the thing. When we hit 2026, what happens to the 22% tax bracket? It becomes 25. What happens to the 24% tax bracket? It becomes 28. So guess what? Even if your Roth conversion strategy, for example, stretched beyond 2026, you would still be able to take advantage of the future version of the 24, which is 28. And you could keep on doing that, I believe, until around 2030 or so, when I think tax rates are really going to have to go up or we go broke as a country. So here's the moral of the story. Don't bump up into the 32% tax bracket between now and 2026 just so you can get all the heavy lifting done by then. It's okay to stretch that tax obligation past 2026 because the future version of 24 is 28. It's still lower than 32 or 35 or 37 that some people are really tempted to take advantage of right now. So I would say, yes, the 2026 date is an important date because we have 3 years to take advantage of historically low tax rates, but I would not move heaven and earth to get all your money shifted to tax-free before then because there's still some good deals, you know, after 2026. They're just not quite as good a deal as they are today. So don't risk everything by paying unnecessarily high taxes along the way, I guess is what I would say.
David, this has been fantastic. I know that you have a big conference coming up called the Heroes of Zero. And then if anybody wanted to follow you, connect with you, work with you, tell us a little bit about the Heroes of Zero, where it's at, and then some ways that people can support you or follow you.
Sure. Heroes of Zero. You know, last year we had the first Heroes of Zero conference. It was me and Ed Slott for 2 days. I love Ed Slott. He and I are sort of two peas in a pod when it comes to how we think and believe about the future of taxes and tax-free retirement and cash value life insurance. We're very much in the same vein there. We wanted to do something historic this year. There's never been a conference where I, Ed Slott, Tom Hegna, and Van Miller have all been on the same stage at the same time. So the subtitle for the conference is Heroes of Zero, Four Experts, One Goal, Zero Tax. So we want to, this is sort of this unprecedented opportunity to see all four of us and get right from the horse's mouth all the cutting edge strategies that you need to know to be able to shield your clients hard-earned retirement savings from the impact of higher taxes. So it's going to be an unprecedented historic opportunity to see all of us on the same stage at the same time. It's May 16th and 17th in Nashville at the Renaissance Hotel. So if you want to sign up for that, you can do so at heroesofzero.live. That's heroesofzero.live. If anybody wants to learn more about me, you can do it at davidmcknight.com or follow me on my YouTube channel, which is Power of Zero.
Awesome, David. So we really appreciate your time today. This has been amazing. So you just obviously rattled off Van Miller, Ed Slott, Tom Hegna, yourself. Is there anyone else in the industry that is an insurance professional we should be following, connecting with, like anything we should be reading, like where you get your sources on this information to help increase our knowledge when it comes to this?
There's a bunch of really strong annuity guys. I really like Wade Fow. I really like Michael Finke, David Blanchett. Those are three guys. Those are actually the three guys that responded. I don't know if you recall, Dave Ramsey called these guys super nerds living in their parents' basement, punching on calculators. This was his big, when everybody called him out on the 8% withdrawal rate, you know, he called all of the CFPs and the PhDs super nerds sitting in their mom's basements punching on calculators. Well, the three of those guys wrote an article. It's called The Super Nerds Respond. So they responded to his, you know, 8% withdrawal rate assumption. So those are three guys on the annuity side. Wade Fow is also very strong on the life insurance side, particularly when it comes to the volatility buffer. Those are all very good guys.
This is fantastic. We've been blessed enough to have Tom and Van on the podcast. So we'll see if we can't get Ed
yeah,
here on the
awesome.
Insurance Buzz. So
why not?
That's right. So David, thank you so much for your time. We truly do appreciate it. And for all of those of you that are listening right now, as always, we appreciate your support because time and attention are by far the most valuable, important assets that we have. So we appreciate you spending time with us. David, thank you so much again for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Insurance Buzz. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. If you want to take your insurance agency to the next level and join our community, simply check out Weaver Sales Academy at www.weaversa.com. Again, that's www.weaversa.com, or visit the show notes on our new and current programs we have available exclusively for you. As always, time is the most valuable and important asset that we all have, and I appreciate you spending it with me. See you on the next episode.